was December the 6th, 1983. I was doing time for armed robbery. Four in the morning, I was sitting in my cell. I heard a whistle blow, then I heard somebody yell.
There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on.
Oh yeah, there is a riot going on. Keep this song playing. Let's hear it. Well, too late. We lost it. My friends, this is the second hour of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Thank you for joining me and giving me the honor of joining you. And we are covering some fun material. Friends, I like this bankruptcy stuff, if you haven't guessed. And we had a riot at the Collecting in Bankruptcy seminar. I'm telling you, when I listened to those tapes, I was shocked at how much fun I had had and forgotten about. Of course, then I had to return home. But we explored all sorts of clever and fun ways to bring the bankruptcy court to bear on our behalf. And I'm just exploring one of those right now. And this is sort of a combination of three or four of those methods that we reviewed on the second day and the end of the first day of the Collecting in Bankruptcy seminar, which, by the way, for a shameless plug, you can order from Brian at takenoprisoners@hush.com. And it's not often I will say something like this. This one, I think, for anyone facing any of these controversies, is worth every penny. You can just take out the strategy that I'm outlining here today and put a stop on your cases other than a criminal case. And if you know what I'm talking about today, you can stop your criminal case cold by operating on the private side with strict BIC, beneficiaries in common intervention. You can do it if you understand what I'm talking about here today. So, that was TakeNoPrisoners@Hush.com, and let's continue with the six friends in bankruptcy. Now, the four friends, the one, two, three, or four friends, friends number three, four, and five, and six, who are creditors, however many there are, what I call friendly creditors, they immediately file a Form B-10 into the court or with the trustee, indicating that they have their secured claims. One of them, I suggest, should have an unsigned secured claim. Because if the trustee gets cute and decides to allow some other purported creditor, for instance, the bank who claims to have a claim, even though they have stipulated and confessed and had that stipulation certified that they hold no claim, and in fact they are a debtor to the debtor in bankruptcy, because the debtor in bankruptcy's obligation was paid off by promissory notes delivered by the living man, then if one of those purported creditors comes in and has an unsigned supposed security agreement, such as a state taxing agency, then one of the friendly creditors holding an antecedent, earlier perfected, secured claim, which happens to be unsigned, can look the trustee in the face and say, excuse me, if you're going to rule that unsigned claims can be admitted as secured claims against a debtor in bankruptcy, since it's competing with my money and I have a pre-existing unsigned secured claim, I believe you have to permit that as priority over the other one. And if you don't, I want you to meet my three friends, the friendly creditors, who just happen to be representatives of the Secretary of State.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar powered generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, welcome back, my friends. You're listening to the second hour of the Saturday edition of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. So we have friend number two in involuntary bankruptcy, and ideally three, and if possible, four friendly creditors who placed him into involuntary bankruptcy. Excuse me, placed it into involuntary bankruptcy. Now, the reason four would be ideal would be to have three notaries present. Of course, three would be fine if one of the notaries filed the involuntary bankruptcy. The notary is not just a notary. A notary is an agent for the Secretary of State of whatever state, in whatever state they are commissioned. So what we're doing is postulating a way of combining two hellfire enforcement strategies, trial by notary and bankruptcy court, and we're adding to that involuntary bankruptcy, friendly creditors, and a perfected commercial lien, which is also either a stage one presentment BIC method or a stage two enforcement strategy. So theoretically, this is combining three separate enforcement strategies. And it can be very powerful, as you'll see. Now, a creditor's meeting is called after those Form B-10s are filed, and usually that's within the first 30 days after the bankruptcy action is filed. So, in an involuntary bankruptcy case, where it is not the debtor that is providing, excuse me, now we have barking dogs in the background, folks, where it's not the debtor that is filing the action, but it is a creditor, at least one creditor to the debtor. The debtor in bankruptcy who is being placed into the involuntary bankruptcy action has to be summoned into the action, and the bankruptcy court provides you with a very simple summons for doing that, and you can download it from the bankruptcy site. Now, we have all of these forms. The bankruptcy court site has many, many forms, and they're by form number. You don't really understand necessarily what they're for. We organize them on the Collecting in Bankruptcy CD in separate folders. So there's a folder for voluntary and then subfolders in the order of usage. So here's your petition, here's your statement of intent, here's all of the form, bankruptcy form 6 schedules of property and creditors and all of that. So you can just pull them out. And we have one organized as well for involuntary bankruptcy. And one of the first documents in there would be the summons for the debtor in bankruptcy. So, creditors 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or all of them fill out a summons to summons the friend number 2 who's holding the court judgment against friend number 1 who's holding a commercial lien against the bank into the bankruptcy court. Sounds convoluted, but it really isn't. Again, friend 1, 2, and 3 is all you need. You could also trim this to just friend 1 and 2. Now, friend number 3 fills out the summons. The summons is served according to the local rules and the U.S. bankruptcy court rules on friend number 2, the debtor in bankruptcy. And friend number 2 fails to show. Now what do you have? You have a default in the bankruptcy. And there are many ways that that can be handled. But you have a debtor in bankruptcy who is not fighting the bankruptcy action. You can imagine how simple this could be thereafter. This same method could also be used with a simple voluntary bankruptcy, where one friend holds a security interest on the other, and the other friend files a voluntary bankruptcy. Friend number 1, the debtor, files a voluntary bankruptcy action, but friend number 1 also has one large asset or multiple assets, which happen to be perfected security interests, perfected commercial liens in the bank, the agency, or whomever has come to them with offers, and whomever has had that offer satisfied by the payment of a BIC bond or promissory note. So this can work voluntary or involuntary. But the involuntary one is cute because we have the opportunity to put all the pieces together. So now you have a creditors meeting. And the creditors meeting, at the creditors meeting, would be the trustee and presumably those creditors who felt it was worth their while to appear. Friends 3, 4, 5, and 6. And, of course, the purpose on paper of the creditors' meeting is to interview the debtor in bankruptcy. It's possible that the debtor in bankruptcy could default at that meeting in an involuntary situation. And, in fact, sometimes they default. We interviewed a fellow on the program, I believe it was on the 16th, who defaulted at a creditors' meeting. The debtor in bankruptcy defaulted at the creditors meeting, and we had to suggest some ways of mopping up on that. But one way or the other, the creditors meeting sounds like a great idea to me, because the friendly creditors, picture this. Apologies, friends. Picture this. The friendly creditors and the debtor in bankruptcy are preparing for the creditors meeting with full knowledge of the strategies they are about to unfold. And the debtor in bankruptcy, whether or not he appears, is not planning to appear for the purpose of revealing all of the debtor's assets, but he would be appearing to participate in the questioning of the other purported creditors who show up who like to sniff around the bankruptcy and say, oh, yes, I have a perfected security interest, even though they don't have any signed papers, such as a state taxing agency. Or the bank, who no longer has a security interest because it's been satisfied and the contract has been redrafted. But the friendly creditors show up, and only the friendly creditors and the debtor in bankruptcy know what's about to happen. The other side does not have a chance to prepare. Who do you think will be successful? Because the one of the creditors, if an unfriendly creditor appears with a purported lien that has been satisfied, and you have a tough trustee who's not letting the debtor in bankruptcy ask questions, or you haven't had an opportunity for the debtor in bankruptcy to place an objection to that lien at a hearing, or this is not a creditor's meeting, this is a hearing which is being called before the bankruptcy judge subsequent to the debtor in bankruptcy's filing a motion of objection to the purported claim from the bank or from the state taxing agency. Well, whatever the hearing, whatever the meeting, the friendly creditors show up as interested parties because they are competing for the funds. And the creditor, the friendly creditor, will have the opportunity to ask the unfriendly creditor either directly or through the trustee or through the judge, would you please ask Mr. Jones if that's his signature on the Form B-10. Mr. Jones will say yes. Would you please ask Mr. Jones to read the statement below it? And that's the perjury penalty statement. So you do say you sign this under penalty of perjury. Yes. And it says, would you please read what it says right here in the middle of the page off to the right side? Secured interest, $1.2 million. So you did sign under penalty of perjury that you have a security interest in the debtor in bankruptcy. Is that correct? Yeah. Do you happen to have it with you? And he will have nothing to say other than to point to the pages he stapled to the Form B-10, the proof of claim. And those pages will consist of a notice of deficiency, the mortgage, the other things of that sort. But let's talk about the notice of deficiency and the tax side of it. He may have an assessment or other numbers on a page. So we would ask him, do you happen to have the debtor in bankruptcy signature on a contract? No. Do you happen to have the debtor in bankruptcy signature on an affidavit of obligation? No. Do you have an invoice which was signed where he accepted a service? Do you have anything at all indicating the debtor in bankruptcy actually participated in this so-called lien? And he may insist that those pages attached are a lien. So you take a piece of paper, a blank piece of paper, write some numbers with a magic marker on it, and hand it to him and ask him to identify what this is. And eventually to identify what is the difference between these numbers on the page and his numbers on the page. What's the difference between a piece of paper with numbers? The creditor can get away with this. Now, at some point, it's going to become clear in the case of a taxing agency that the fellow lied on the form under penalty of perjury. At some point, it's going to become clear with a bank that the CFO lied on the form because he had been paid and the contract had been redrafted and he's insisting that his contract is valid when in fact he has already confessed and had the confession certified by a public official, a representative of a Secretary of State somewhere, that he has confessed to forgiving all that liability by way of it being paid. He has confessed to the value and validity of the payment instrument. He has confessed to receiving the payment instrument and accepting it. He has confessed to accepting all liability for failure to post the payment. His confession is a matter of law. So in one way or another, all of these purported unfriendly liens will be impeached. And then you turn to the trustee and you say, excuse me, aren't you under a statutory obligation? And you'll know the code for that. It's in our bankruptcy notes. I forget if it's under Title 28 or 11. I believe it's 28. Aren't you under obligation to report your observation of any crime in these proceedings to the U.S. Attorney for Criminal Prosecution? and the blood is going to drain out of the trustee's face like a butchered pig. And that's not all, folks, and we'll pick this up after the break.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Bankruptcy train, my friends. That's the train I want to be on. Our solutions in bankruptcy. Welcome back, friends. So we're sitting there at a creditor's meeting or at a hearing that's called to object to a claim, and we put the other side under the gun. Under penalty of perjury, they're having to confess that the previous statement under penalty of perjury is false. And we look to the trustee and we say to the trustee, aren't you under a statutory mandate to report any crimes you observe in this proceeding to the U.S. attorney? And if she declines, now the notaries go to work. And they pull out of their back pocket a subpoena that is ready and waiting to go, summoning her to a deposition outside of that court, specific to taking evidence as to whether or not she violated her statutory responsibilities as a United States trustee sitting at the pleasure of the U.S. trustee, Henry Paulser. Now, my friends, other than me discussing this strategy on the Collecting in Bankruptcy seminar and on this program this afternoon and trial by notary the last couple of weeks, they have never seen anything like this in their life. And even if they have, 99% of the time, they are going to be completely unprepared. They're expecting a creditor's meeting. Why? Because you haven't used petitions. You haven't had the living man file as a creditor. It all looks very legit. Because it is legit. It's publicly legit, which means it's bankrupt. And bankruptcy is what they understand. So those notaries hold the key to enforcing an ethical execution of lawful duties by the trustee and, in fact, the judge at any hearing. So letting the judge know that he has representatives of the Secretary of State present with subpoenas or summonses, whichever you choose, in their back pocket the first time he gets out of line and is a bit intransigent about it. I imagine this is a little less cordial than they're used to. But we don't want to do it with an attitude. You know, I'm on the radio here talking, and the only assault I'm facing right now is from my wife taking out the garbage and animals barking and the computer going down and the music being out of sync, which it isn't. Thank you to my producers for straightening it out. But it's different in the courtroom. I grant you that. But if you know who you are, it's your courtroom, and you're there to collect. And having subpoenas ready is certainly one way to go about it. Now, there's another situation where one might be motivated to invoke subpoena to force the trustee to execute his or her lawful duty. Friend number one has a perfected security interest. And friend number two has a court judgment against friend number one. So friend number two is the debtor in bankruptcy, and his only primary paramount asset of record, in addition to perhaps there's a house or car or things of that sort, but his real asset, his primary self-worth, excuse me, net worth, did that come out wrong? His primary net worth is a court judgment of a court of the United States. And so the trustee has to collect on that judgment to pay off the creditors, friends 3, 4, 5, and 6, who have placed him into involuntary bankruptcy. And when the trustee goes to collect, the trustee will find that the court judgment is against friend number one, whose primary asset is the commercial lien against the bank. And now if the trustee, for some reason, or a commercial lien against an agency or whomever it may be, which has not been filed publicly, you haven't gotten into trouble, you're asking the bankruptcy court to execute. You're not going out and trying to sell a state taxing agency building. And so now, if the trustee declines to collect, or as it says in the bankruptcy code, declines to turn into money the perfected commercial lien, she is then not facing the holder of that lien as her opponent, no, because the creditors will march back along with now a cooperative friend number two who holds the court judgment. The plaintiff in that judgment will all march back to the original court that issued that judgment and bring the trustee in under a show cause hearing, a petition in the nature of a motion for the trustee to show cause why she should not be held in contempt of that court order. My friends, this is a beautiful thing. 007 didn't have a license to kill as a business. The Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar powered generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000 watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. So, if the bankruptcy is a beautiful thing, I understand that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But perhaps after listening to this program, you'll be able to see some of the vision that I have for utilizing the bankruptcy regulations, the notary regulations, and some other statutes like 28 U.S.C. 586 and others that can work to our advantage as enforcement strategies if you, like me, will see the beauty in such things. If the trustee permits a satisfied lien to be treated as a current obligation, if the trustee permits a false claim to masquerade as an enforceable lien when the guy has admitted under oath that he did not have the secured interest that he purported to have under penalty of perjury on the Form B-10, your notaries are ready to spring to action with summonses and subpoenas. That's why we need top-notch, courageous notaries at our disposal, not only willing but enthusiastic to entertain these kinds of procedures. If the trustee balks on her obligation under 11 U.S.C. Section 704 to collect and reduce to money the property of the estate, the bankruptcy estate, you know, the estate is what's left after the debtor, who's the lowest form of vermin anyway, exhausts any property it might have had. Now he's really the lowest form of vermin. He's dead. He used up his chance. If the trustee balks on her obligation to reduce the property to money, then your notaries are ready. And you are ready to march over. All the creditors are ready, the friendly creditors, that is, are ready to march over to the court that handed friend number two his summary judgment against friend number one to put in a petition in the nature of a motion, or actually just a simple motion, since they're disguising as fictions, a motion to bring the trustee in to that court to show cause under penalty of perjury why she should not be held in contempt of the court order, the order for friend number one to pay its assets to friend number two. And friend number one's primary asset is its perfected commercial lien. Ms. Trustee, why are you violating that court order? Is your reason for violating that court order is that you are actually working on behalf of the bank? Have you lost your way? So you have that remedy at hand. And that's a simple one- or two-page pleading. It exists already, or pleadings of that sort, very close to what one would need, exist in our petitions folder on the Law Merchant Leadership Retreat CD, and we also put that in as a bonus on the Collecting in Bankruptcy CD. So all of those petitions are there. We would just have to change the parties, eliminate the third party plaintiff and defendant, and these creditors would come in as plaintiffs in that original action, seeking to bring the trustee in for a show cause hearing for violating the court order in that particular action. If the trustee balks on her obligations under 28 U.S.C. Section 586, subparagraph F, to report any criminal activity she observes during the bankruptcy action to the U.S. attorney, then you have the notaries ready to go. In fact, you can tell one of these notaries when they're walking around the federal building, because they're the ones with the subpoenas sticking out of their back pockets, the instant subpoenas, the instant affidavits, the instant criminal complaints, the instant affidavit of probable cause, and so on, ready to ensure that the fictions don't violate their own fictions whenever possible. As I said, not even 007 had a license to kill as effective as these enforcement strategies when pulled together by men and women of common interest and sufficient courage to understand that when they move the game to the other side of the 50-yard line, they stand the best chance of a successful, predictable outcome. And we've just scratched the surface. Give you an example. Let's say you're desperate to delay an action. Well, this idea occurred to me as I was speaking on day two at the Collecting in Bankruptcy seminar. Let's say you send off a letter to a bureaucratic nightmare. Anyone come to mind? Department of Environmental Conservation? How about Department of Health and Human Services? How about the Corrections Department? And you send them a simple letter through a notary. A notary makes a due presentment of your letter stating something to the effect that you believe that your records may indicate I'm going to put it in first person terms here as if I'm doing it. My records indicate that I may owe $1,000 to that department. And I'm such a loyal participant and supporter of the United States that in the event I don't hear from you, I will have the notary certify that I do, based upon the assumption. Now, when that department fails to respond and the notary certifies the debt, one can enter an ongoing bankruptcy action and file an amended Schedule 6E or F. Those are the schedules of unsecured creditors, priority and non-priority. I believe that this party has that the debtor in bankruptcy has an obligation to this party. And so I'm amending those schedules to so indicate. And we can send that off to the trustee or file it with the clerk, or we have a nifty administrative process on the collecting in bankruptcy CD, from the debtor in bankruptcy to the trustee, saying, here's my amended schedule. And by the way, you can amend those schedules as many times as you like up until approval of the plan or closure of the action, one or the other, I forget, but as many times as you like while this action is ongoing. And then you can notify the trustee and the clerk through this administrative process that you have not received a B-10 regarding their claim, or you have not received their certification of claim, their verification of the claim. The clerk automatically, upon receiving that amended schedule, should send a Form B-10 to the new purported creditor requesting them to fill it in. Now, it could take Health and Human Services 6 months just to open that letter. How long will it take them to search their records and get back and say, well, we don't have evidence of that. I'm not aware of that liability. Could take months. In the meantime, you're saying to the trustee, ma'am, I really believe this obligation exists, so I'd like to hold up until we receive their B-10. Would you send them another letter, please, requesting their B-10? What's the hold? The creditors haven't come for their claims, but I'm willing to wait. That might be one viable way of slowing down the action and keeping the automatic stay in place. The automatic stay in bankruptcy is the stay of all of these U.S. persons, corporations, LLCs, other individuals who are in the middle of collection actions against the debtor in bankruptcy. All of that is stayed other than most domestic issues such as child support. And if they don't want to be subject to the stay, they have to call a hearing before the bankruptcy judge for relief from the automatic stay. Well, my friends, the one thing that is not stayed in bankruptcy is the right to issue promissory notes and notices of dishonor. In the meantime, you can be sitting in the bankruptcy waiting for their B-10s, completing administrative remedies, and kicking out promissory notes to everybody under the sun, and they can't touch you. You are untouchable. You're the witness protection program while they're subject to the automatic stay for collection, and you're perfecting your administrative remedies and commercial liens. This is a thing of beauty. Am I the only one smiling? My producer just whispered in my ear that he's smiling. Thank you, Manny. Friends, this is better than Disneyland. Bankruptcy court is Disneyland for adults. And anyone gets out of line, your notaries and witnesses can kick them back into shape. The notaries issue certificates of dishonor on the judge, and you move right away to the appellate division. Do you know how easy that is in bankruptcy court? There is an appellate division. It varies. I always tell people, study the local rules. I don't want to become expert in that unless it's my case. But basically, in general, the bankruptcy court site provides you with the appeal document ready to go. It's a cover sheet. Check this, check that. Attach to it your complaint. What does your complaint say? On such and such day, Your complaint says, I see no defect in certified public records A, B, and C, bearing county filing numbers A, B, and C, in which these three representatives of the Secretary of States of these states have certified that Judge such and such has failed to honor payment or has violated statute such and such, whatever it may be. And a notary puts that into evidence, so it's in the evidence file of that appeal. And we have those papers, the bankruptcy form of appeals papers, a simple one-page cover sheet, organized again in order of use, so the minute the judge on the collecting and bankruptcy CD, so the minute the judge or the trustee get out of line, you can move it in that direction. Now, I'm not big on appeals, but let's face it, this whole thing is a fictional nightmare for them. Did they ever dream that the statutes they constructed to ensure that you remain a compliant robot gets twisted and perverted to be used against them? Of course not, but it happens to all their statutes. Remember, the RICO statute was written, what is that, Title 42, no, 18 U.S.C. 1962 and 63, 64, all of that. That was written to place Tony Soprano in prison. That was the public veneer. And anyone in the freedom movement knew that when you gave that kind of power to a prosecutor, since once the prosecutor files the charges, unless you know how to deal with it administratively, there is an assumption of guilt in admiralty, which will be enforced in the equity quicksand. Anyone who understood freedom and how the courts work, very few people, I might add, did back then, a few more do nowadays, certainly understood that the RICO statute, in the hands of a clever prosecutor facing re-election or seeking revenge against his wife's family, actually that one doesn't sound so bad, or any of the other personal vendettas the prosecutor may hold, such as those three women that we interviewed on last Saturday and Sunday's broadcast of Take No Prisoners, would use those RICO statutes as his personal collection agency. And they have against churches and pastors and lawyers and doctors and hospitals and everybody under the sun. That may not be such a beautiful thing. But when we use the bankruptcy statutes and the notary regulations and codes and our knowledge of freedom and 28 U.S.C. 586 and our knowledge of perfecting commercial liens, thank the Lord for Hartford Van Dyke rotting in prison, unfortunately, when we use all of this knowledge and their statutes and regulations in this manner, it truly can be a beautiful thing. So when you send me an email saying, and excuse my inflection, Sam, I'm filing bankruptcy, please, please rescue me from this, I hear so many misstatements in that one little fragment that it's almost impossible to be of service. A, the bankruptcy is exactly what you should be doing. You should be enthusiastic about it. B, clearly, you haven't studied to know what you're doing. C, I can't do it for you, my friends. That's why patriots have failed in the past. They have relied upon others, upon Victoria and Jack and me and Winston and Sam Davis, who, by the way, hello, Sam, welcome back. I had a lovely meeting with Sam and a couple of conversations with him since. Sam Davis is starting to give seminars again, and I urge everyone who really wants to understand where much of this started to go and attend one of Sam's seminars. You won't be disappointed. Anyway, you can't rely upon us. We self-appointed gurus, and that's all we are, for your freedom. You must be responsible for your actions. And so if you don't understand bankruptcy court and you think based upon my words today it might be something that's A, helpful, and B, something that's very simple to do, they give you the forms, then you need to make the decision that that's the direction you would like to try. I do suggest the collecting and bankruptcy seminar can be a big step forward in that. You listen to those 2 days, you have all the forms, you have the study notes, and everything is hot linked. It'll take you right to the web of that particular code. For instance, if you click on 28 USC 586, if that code's not pasted in the notes, which it probably is. Now, that's not just to hawk those seminars. I genuinely, you know why I made the final decision to produce that? Because I get so many people who send me emails saying, Sam, my house is being sold tomorrow. Can you help me? And the answer to that is no, I can't. But I take my time to try and find mentors who can get there immediately. And that eats up hours and hours of time. My time is winding down, folks, and your time is winding up. And the Collecting and Bankruptcy Seminar, big, big help in that direction for you and your business. Anyway, we're down to our final 5 minutes after the break. I hope you've enjoyed the program. Please join me for my wrap-up comments after the break. I'll make it worth your while.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar powered generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000 watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Welcome back, my country friends. This is the final segment of a very quick Take No Prisoners broadcast. This program passed like lightning for me. Obviously, this is a topic that I'm extraordinarily enthusiastic about, friends. So I'll ask you to study it a couple of times, and if you feel that you are of a mind and ready, it's got to be your decision, then you might want to try suing a friend in court and securing that judgment on your commercial lien. This is shaping up as a pathway that is viable, quick, straightforward. There will be obstacles because once they find out, they're listening to this program, once they find out, they're going to design strategies against it, but you still have the weight of truth and knowledge on your side. I'd like to thank Republic Broadcasting for providing us with this opportunity, and I'd like to thank John and Manny, my producers. We had them both on today. They each shared 1 hour, and I'd like to thank you for the fine service and for straightening out the music. I'd like to thank my wife for collecting the garbage during the radio program. By the way, I really don't ask much of anyone who listens or whom I help. I just ask them to pass the knowledge along responsibly. But I would like to ask a favor. If anyone has a mail order bride catalog, would you send it on to Sam Kennedy at care of PDFM, 159 Delaware Avenue, number, I don't even know our address, number 229 Del Mar, New York, 12054. That would be my straw party. Aside from that, I really appreciate you tuning in the program and listening, and the obvious enthusiasm for the Law Merchant Leadership Retreat and the bankruptcy seminar. We had a wonderful time at the bankruptcy seminar. Unfortunately, it was only 2 days, and I gave it my all. I think it was the best I've ever done that second day, and I will try to deliver an equivalent performance at the Law Merchant Retreat in October. We have, as far as I know, 4 spaces available for that, and that will truly be a remarkable event, provided I don't lose my voice. It's going to be 5 blissful days, actually 6 or 7 nights if you come the night before and stay over. We're asking all attendees, please, to register the night before from 7 till 10 p.m. We must get that out of the way. This is the largest crowd ever. The room, as you know, has been filled to capacity every time. We're going to increase that even more. We may have to bring in some outside chairs. What did he say in Seinfeld? Bring in an outside pickle? We're going to bring in some outside pickles at the front of the room and do our best to accommodate everybody comfortably, but I'd like to accommodate these last few people who apparently are very enthusiastic about attending. Your enthusiasm does not go unnoticed. We're all working as hard as we can. Even Roberta, 76 years old, working until 3, 4 in the morning. We're doing the best we can. Forgive whatever mistakes we make. We're all tired. And I won't have an opportunity to rest until I get to the conference. And I'll be resting for 5 days, lecturing morning and night. We have evening lectures planned as well, and there will be some interesting presentations and the usual good food. And that's about it. I truly hope, I will pray that you receive something out of this program. And I invite you to join me tomorrow night. We're going to continue this and have our special guest on tomorrow, Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Friends, it's an honor. This is God's will as far as I'm concerned for me to be able to join you like this. Thank you for joining me. Enjoy the rest of the day. We'll see you tomorrow. Good night and God bless.